I'm Linda Perry at WBAI in New York with a Pacifica Radio special on the Central Park Five.
Yeah. It is Central Park Five. Got to get paid.
The Central Park Five have got to get paid. That was the rallying cry of supporters of the five men. They were railroaded, wrongly accused, coerced, convicted, and imprisoned in the brutal beating and rape of the Central Park jogger back in 1989. The five, Yousef Salaam, Carrie Weiss, Antron McRae, Kevin Richardson, and Raymond Santana were 14 to 16 years old at the time. 25 years later, they reached a deal with New York City, approximately $40 million, $1 million each for each year in jail. It doesn't make up for what they've been through. They'll never get back their youth, says former council member Charles Barron.
$40 million could never pay for the pain, the suffering, the loss of the most critical years of their life, their youth. Cannot pay for that. And Donald Trump, the police interrogators, the prosecutors, every last one of them should be arrested. Arrested for defamation of character, arrested for false prosecution, arrested for false imprisonment.
The issues that were brought up around this case have not been erased.
Yousef Salaam's mom, Sharon Salaam.
More children are going to be victimized by these criminals who are in the police department and working as public safety officers. The judicial system and all have not been changed. They throw pennies at us. And say, go! We are still here. I am still here. Many of those people who stood with us, Congressman Rangel is one. He has not been mentioned today, so I want to mention him and to thank him for being there, for writing letters of support on our behalf. I want to thank him for the man he is. I want to thank Assemblyman Keith Wright, who has stood with us and still continues to stand. He has been a friend to our family for so long. The victory, I don't know what to call this. I don't know where to place it in my mind. These people drove me to stage four cancer. I'm still alive today. My hair's grayer than it was before. And it's shorter than it was before. Because that's what cancer will do to you when you're living under mounds and mounds of stress and you're being thrust upon by all kind of people with all kind of insults. Every day, I am still insulted. I still see people talking and grabbing about how this case went and how what needs to be done to us. I haven't heard the victory cry in the newspaper. I haven't heard the rejoice of innocence on the TV. I still hear they did something. They getting away with it. They were in cahoots with the person who did it. I hear that. And I hear it loud and clear. Where is the thunder that speaks to our innocence? Where's the thunder that relieves our pain? It is not here today. I don't know when it's coming. I would like to think somewhere down the road we would begin to feel the victory. But the fat lady hasn't danced. And as you can see, the fat lady is not me. But when the fat lady dances, maybe then the victory will come. But right now, we are still consumed in the midst of all this shame that we're trying to work our way through so that we can continue to live our lives. Many of us still today after Matias Reyes' confession, still have not been able to find employment. We are still marginalized. I wonder what Donald Trump would have done if it had been his child, his white child, who was sitting in the police precinct. What would he do? What do Jews say when these types of things happen to them? Never again.
That's right.
But to us, they say, get over it. Move on.
That's right. That's right.
I'm a black mother.
That's right.
I had a black father and a black mother who raised me. I have not gotten over it. And I don't see myself getting over it anytime soon.
Still wearing the scars of their lost youth, some of the men gathered at City Hall in New York City for a news conference. They spoke about the settlement and what they've gone through. Kevin Richardson is visibly emotional.
Y'all don't really understand what we went through. Y'all tried to dehumanize us as human beings, but we still here.
That's right.
We're strong.
That's right.
Nobody gave us a chance for the people that believed in us. Mm-hmm. People called us animals, mm-hmm. wolf pack. I have four sisters and a mother. I would never do anything to a woman. I was raised better than that.
That's right. Right. That's right.
It still hurts me emotionally. Now it feels great to have a voice. Because in 89, we didn't have one. Mm-hmm. All we wanted to tell y'all that we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to put an end to this chapter.
Raymond Santana says when he looks back on the last 25 years, he remembers the labels the five received, the labels of wolf pack, urban terrorists, super predator.
What we went through, the five of us, me, Kevin, Antron, Yusuf, Corey, is something that when we tell this story and we tell people, they think that it's scripted. They think that we're lying. It's unbelievable the injustice that we suffered throughout all these years and that we continue to suffer till today. Mm-hmm. The Donald Trumps, the Ann Coulters,
yes,
you know, the
true.
Bloggers who still say that we're guilty or that we're guilty of something, you know, because they just can't let it go. They just can't let it go that we were innocent. And that we didn't commit this crime at the end of the day. Reyes has told you on more than one occasion that it was him and him alone. The DNA match. What more do you need? Mm-hmm. What more do we have to prove? Today's supposed to be a day of victory, of celebration. I wake up this morning still wanting to put the gloves on and still want to fight.
Yes, yes.
Because my childhood was taken from me.
That's right.
The ability to become a productive man in society was taken. And instead, you gave me prison life. And this is what you give it. This is what I come back with, the aggression, you know, that I had to find out on my own. We was never given a transitional program. We was never given a halfway house. Mm-hmm. Nobody never sat it down and said, wait, we're going to walk you through these steps so that you can get a job.
Yes.
Even after exoneration, they just dropped us off and said, fend for yourself. Mm-hmm. All we had was our family members and our attorneys. They became family. They became, you know, our counselors. They became the person we went to when we had an issue. You know, help us get a job. And at the end of the day, everybody just act like it's okay. You know, we decided to take the responsibility of giving back, of talking to the kids, of, you know, taking the weight of wrongful convictions and putting it on our backs. Being the spokespeople for organizations like the Innocence Project, the Jeffrey Deskovic Foundation. We didn't have to do that. But you gave us no choice. Again, you took our childhood years and you replaced it with something else. So I wake up this morning. Today's supposed to be a joyful celebration. And again, I want to put the gloves back on. I don't know how to take them off.
Yes, yes, yes.
All I know how to do is go out there and speak
yes.
against injustice
yes.
and fight for somebody else who's been wrongfully
That's right.
convicted.
That's right.
You know, everybody, then there's this, the whole thing about the $41 million. That started to take a life of its own. Call in, weigh in. What do you think about it? And it wasn't even about the money. It was about the closure. We've been battling this case for 12 years. The city's saying we're still guilty. And we all know they changed their theory several times. You know? Well, they didn't, you know, it's not about whether we're innocent or guilty. It's just that police did nothing wrong. And so I challenge you, the media, at the end of the day. Jim Dwyer said that there were over 94,000 documents that are marked confidential. Sooner or later, that stuff will be open. And I challenge you, the media, to look at that and really find out about the injustice that happened to the Central Park Five.
That's right.
The men are going to continue to use the platform of the Central Park Five to fight for justice, says Kevin Richardson.
But they didn't expect us to be standing here right now. Right. Me and you, me and Raymond are 39 years old. We was 14 at the time.
Wow.
Now we have children, nieces and nephews that's looking up to us. And we owe it to ourselves to fight. And this will not be the last that you will see of us. We're not going to hide away in the cave.
Right.
We're going to be on the front line.
That's right.
Because this is what we're supposed
right.
to do. I was a shy, naive one in 1989. Not no more.
That's
get
right.
used to my face in a positive level.
That's right. I messed up.
I'm looking my head up now.
I mean, everybody knows that I'm Muslim.
Yusuf Salam.
And in Islam, there's a famous ayat which starts and says, "Fa inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra." Surely after difficulty there is ease, or there is relief. Surely after difficulty there is relief. Here we've been walking through hell all this time, and we've been given the fortitude by the Creator to be preserved and to keep on moving forward and straight ahead. And when I tell you, I don't know if I truly believed that this day would ever happen. Because when we look at all of the things that are going on around the world, and especially in this country of ours, there's so many injustices that go on. And when we think that the right people are going to be prosecuted, things just don't go right. And it's a big letdown for us, you know. But when I think about the people that are in our lives and the people that surround us, like my mother, you know, the lawyers that came to our aid, Beldock, Levine, and Hoffman, you know, that's just from my personal side, but we have everybody else, you know what I mean? It's tremendous. And, man, this is amazing. I used to call this the criminal system of injustice. But Yusuf Salam has now today called it, for the Central Park Five, the criminal justice system. It seems like justice is starting to be restored. We can now put smiles on our faces and breathe a bit of a relief. But we know that there's always struggle. And we are plugged in. For everybody else, this is an historical moment. But for us, this is our lives.
Salam, who went to jail when he was 15 years old, says the way his confession was coerced is common. New York State Senator Bill Perkins has put forth legislation to address this issue. The bill is called Videotaping of Interrogations Prior to Confessions.
Essentially, this is a case that got this far because during the course of interrogations, they were coerced. That coercion was behind closed doors. So ultimately, the confessions is all we saw. And clearly, if that's all you see, then they effectively admitted guilt. What we learned subsequently was that there were interrogations, and what took place in those interrogations was, A, their denial of having done anything, but also techniques that are used to coerce them into confessing, and in addition to confessing of their own guilt, also confessing or implicating each other as to who did or who didn't do whatever was done. So that was the great travesty that resulted in this case of conviction of all of them, and which we now realize, while we caught it in this case, it has been happening many, many times before. But for Matias Reyes, who met Corey Wise in jail, we would not even have known that he himself admittedly was the culprit who not only committed the crime of the Central Park jogger, but several other crimes, including the rape and murder of a pregnant woman. He confessed to that and all the other crimes that they supposedly did. So with such an awesome, awful amount of truth that went untold, and with these children's lives at the time basically on the chopping block, not to mention the scandalizing of the community, and the fact that, again, because of this misinformation, this coercion, another individual who was pregnant was raped. It's a great, great tragedy, not only for the Central Park Five, but for the city in general. And so this legislation will prevent another Central Park Five case from taking place in terms of the coercive techniques that we've discovered are used by the police department and the district attorney's office.
Senator Perkins says there's an urgency to the videotaping of interrogations prior to confessions legislation.
While this case is 25 years old, unfortunately, there are more cases like this happening that have not seen the light of day. It took extraordinary efforts on the part of a lot of people to out this particular coercive confession, and many people get credit for it, including especially the families that persevered in the face of such awesome assault against them. But we don't want justice to come at such an expense. We don't want to have a cynical attitude about the process of justice. And until we pass such legislation, we always will have to have in the back of our mind, were these confessions coerced? Are there coercive tactics being used by our district attorney's office, by our police department, and are they targeting youth of color, particularly in these cases? Right now, it is a commonly felt understanding that that's what's taking place, especially in light of the fact that this type of legislation does not make it criminal to do so.
One of the attorneys for the Central Park Five is Jonathan Moore. He was also on the team which challenged the unconstitutionality of the NYPD's policy of stop and frisk. Moore says he's proud to be representing the Central Park Five and their families.
It's really, I call it the Central Park 20, because it wasn't just five people who went to jail. It was their families that went to jail with them on every vacation, every holiday, every week, in fact, those families stayed together. And for many, many years, aside from a few courageous politicians like Bill Perkins and Charles Barron, it was their families who gave these young men the will to go on. And so we can't forget that. So this is not the Central Park 5 that stands here in victory today. It's the Central Park 20. Mm-hmm. We are pleased that that the city's finally agreed after a lot of very hard-fought litigation to settle this case. It's a substantial amount of money, but I think people should understand that as much as it's a lot of money and it's the highest per year average the city's ever paid in a wrongful conviction case, so we're happy that we raised the bar for other people coming along. But it's the true injustice here is that we cannot give back these young people their lives. And as one of the speakers said, the scars remain inside.
Yes.
Raymond and Kevin and Yusef and Corey and Antron are incredible young men to have gone through this kind of state terror and survived with the humanity and humility that they have. And my 37 years as a lawyer, I've never been so honored to represent anybody as I have been to represent them and their families. As I said, this was a hard-fought litigation. We did over 100 depositions. There was hundreds of thousands of pages of discovery that was exchanged, numerous motions. The city fought hard on everything because that was the Bloomberg-Kelly-Cardozo regime way of doing things. They never wanted to admit they had done anything wrong. And they will, today, the city will probably issue a press release saying there's no admission of liability and that there's been no finding that these officers or these detectives or these prosecutors did anything wrong. To which I say, if they didn't do anything wrong, why are they paying close to $41 million? Okay. So everybody knows the truth here. Everybody knows the reality here of what happened, that these men were railroaded, and that these people who should know better, who are the people who we count on to be the buffer against the mob, didn't do their job back then and have failed to admit that they did wrong back then and have failed to admit their mistakes. Mm-hmm. We expect to ask Judge Batts in federal court in the Southern District very shortly to sign off on this settlement. We don't expect she'll have any problem doing that. And at that point, the legal case will be over. But as Bill Perkins has said, the struggle around wrongful convictions continues.
Yes.
And I know that Raymond and Kevin and Youssef, Antron and Corey and their families will continue to be a part of that struggle. And we all should make sure that this terrible tragedy never happens again.
One of the family members Moore spoke about is Angela Black.
25 years ago, my brother Kevin Richardson was tried and convicted of a crime that he did not commit. Labeled a rapist, a murderer, vilified, and dehumanized, my family and I suffered an injustice by the very people who are supposed to protect and serve us. The Police Department of New York City and the District Attorney's Office, specifically Linda Fairstein and Elizabeth Lederer. Due to our faith, we were able to live through this horrific nightmare of the Central Park jogger case. We have always trusted in God. We give all the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, first, for the things that he have done. We thank him for giving us the courage and the strength to persevere through all these years. We would like to thank everyone who has believed in us and supported us through these years. Your love and prayers have strengthened us. To our attorneys, Michael and Evelyn Warren, Roger Warham, and Jonathan Moore, we thank you for your tireless effort and work guiding us and supporting us through this struggle. They are not just our attorneys. They have become our extended family. We love them and we thank them. From the bottom of our hearts, we are truly grateful that they were not just there because of money. They believed in us. And they wanted to see this injustice come to pass where we finally allowed to hold our heads up. And that the city of New York acknowledges that there was an injustice done here. To Senator Bill Perkins, whom I call Uncle Perkins, for being the first politician who has stood with us and stood for us from day one and continues to stand beside us and with us. Also to Reverend Al Sharpton, who has always given us support, along with Charles Barron, Omar Wally, and others to name a few. We are eternally grateful for your love and support. They spoke for us when we were too afraid to speak for ourselves. We would also like to thank Ken Burns, Sarah Burns, and David McMahon for having the insight to make a documentary, giving us the opportunity to tell our story, the true story of the Central Park jogger case. Recently, we lost a close friend and one of our greatest supporters, Alambe Brack.
Yes.
Alambe. He and his wife, Helena, were detrimental in helping us to stay strong when we became weak. To Open Line on WBLS, we love you and we thank you. WBAI, Amsterdam News, all of these publications and radio stations that allowed us to speak and speak for us. Never giving up the struggle with us, we are eternally grateful. To the Innocence Project and the December 12th movement for marching with us and for us tirelessly, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We would also like to thank, last but not least, Mayor Bill de Blasio and his administration for having the courage to finally allowing us to have closure. 25 years is more than I could ever explain to anyone what this has been like for us and our families. Yes. My niece is here, Rashida Richardson. She is 24 years old now. When she was a baby, we had her in a court. We had our nieces and nephews with us as we fought. I will always fight. I will continue to fight for injustice. In the name of the Central Park Five, we pray that no one, no other family, has to endure the pain that our families endured over these years.
Many have called the Central Park Five the modern Scottsboro Boys. Some say a settlement finally closes the door on one of the worst chapters in New York City's history. But is that door closed? Questions remain. Those responsible for the years the Central Park Five spent in jail have not been held accountable. And what about others who remain in prison, whose confessions may have also been coerced?
Justice for
Central Park Five.
Justice for
Central Park Five.
Justice for
Central Park Five.
You've been listening to a Pacifica Radio special on the Central Park Five. You heard former New York City Council member Charles Barron, Central Park Five's Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, and Yousef Salam, Attorney Jonathan Moore and Senator Bill Perkins. You also heard from Central Park Five family members Sharon Salam and Angela Black. I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.